I think I'm going to turn it over to Kurt Howe at this time. There you are. Kurt is the chairman of the Board of Deacons, and they have a presentation to make this morning.
Thank you, Brian, for that challenge to our hearts this morning. It's hard to get out of our comfort zones, but that's a great challenge to reach those folks in our community, our neighbors, our friends, that many times we have great intentions but never get accomplished. So we thank you so much for coming and sharing what God's doing through the Awana program. As part of the pastoral succession process, the church voted to update its bylaws in accordance with paragraph 4.4.1 of the bylaws. The calling of a pastor may be considered at a special church business meeting, provided that notice is given to the congregation for two Sundays prior to the meeting. In addition to call a pastor, the candidate must receive a vote of at least 85% of the eligible members voting at such business meeting. The deacons met this morning to vote on whether to recommend to the congregation the calling of a new pastor. I am pleased to announce that the deacons voted unanimously to have Dr. Benjamin Thomas Graham candidate for the position of senior pastor. Therefore, Dr. Benjamin T. Graham will candidate for the position of senior pastor next Sunday on March the 1st, 2015. Furthermore, the members of the congregation will vote on the official board's recommendation at a special business meeting on Sunday morning, March the 8th. Now you will hear further about this candidate from the succession committee. Ron?
Great. If I could have the whole succession committee come to the front of the church, we would appreciate that. Thanks, Kurt. It's with great honor and privilege for the succession committee to take a few minutes this morning and introduce you to the candidate. Before we introduce you to the candidate, you can go ahead and put the first slide up. Maybe I can advance it. We want to take just a few minutes and go through kind of the process as we have outlined it. First of all, I want to introduce the committee and have them share from their heart God's direction during the selection process and their personal observations and thoughts about the candidate and their wife. After introducing the candidate, Rick Hodges, and after the committee speaks, was going to wrap up by doing just a short schedule of events. So where did we start this process? Basically, we started with three phases. First phase was to seek. This started in May 2013 and went to March 2014. During the seek phase, a small committee was established to seek God's will and direction on the pastoral succession process, to meet with Pastor and Mary and determine their dreams and desires, to get current members' input into the process, and then wisdom from the retired pastors in our church and other pastors that we talked to about pastoral transition, and other search committees from other churches. We read a number of books and articles regarding how to have a successful transition in leadership. In March of 2014, we entered phase two, the search phase in which the present succession committee was authorized by the official board to search for a candidate. After several months of updating the bylaws, the committee began to diligently start the search process. We cast a wide net by placing an advertisement in a widely circulated Christian periodical. We listed the position on a number of seminary websites, and we followed up with every lead that the congregation gave us. We received over 40-plus resumes, and then we began the process of elimination. We spent numerous hours reviewing the resumes, the questionnaires, sermons to narrow the field of candidates. With 12 members on the committee, we estimate the total time commitment to this process totaled over several hundred hours. We narrowed the candidate field to five and conducted interviews by Skype. We further narrowed the candidates to two. We met extensively with both of the final candidates and actually spent a great deal of time getting to know the candidates and their wives over Christmas. The committee members traveled to the candidates' churches. We conducted in-person interviews with both the candidates, and then we took some time off and then came together, and with the final result of the committee being a unanimous recommendation to the deacon board that the church called Dr. Benjamin Thomas Graham as senior pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Now we've officially entered the settle phase. This is the phase in which you, the congregation, are going to have an opportunity to learn about the candidate and his wife, take some time to listen to the candidate's sermons, hear the candidate preach next Sunday morning, and then answer questions Sunday evening and Sunday afternoon, and then vote on the candidate on Sunday, March 8th, on whether to call Dr. Graham as our next senior pastor of Grace Baptist Church. It's now my privilege and opportunity to tell you a little bit about the qualifications of Dr. Graham. First of all, his personal testimony. On Good Friday in 1984, and these are his words, "My father led our family in devotional time on our back patio. Hearing the story of Jesus' sacrifice, I told my parents I wanted Jesus in my heart. They questioned me thoroughly about my understanding and were satisfied with my responses. They then led me in praying to receive Jesus. The following Sunday, I professed my faith at our home church, Tri-County Baptist Church, and was baptized shortly thereafter." Can you just advance these as I read them? It'll be easier. Thanks. His educational background. Dr. Graham has an earned doctorate from Southwestern Theological Seminary, a Master of Arts degree from Dallas Theological Seminary, and a Business Administration degree in Finance from the University of Georgia. His professional ministry experience, this includes both full-time and part-time positions. He served as an associate pastor, a campus pastor, a next generation pastor, student ministries director, family life minister, and youth minister. His missions experience. Dr. Graham has a heart for missions. He's taken missions trips to China, Mexico, the Middle East, Bahamas, Canada, and Haiti. While in Haiti, he worked with an orphanage, conducted medical clinics where he and others were able to share the gospel with all who attended. Dr. Graham was even able to preach at one church with a translator. The children's ministry experience. Dr. Graham has participated in Awana, for which we're thankful, and as a child has worked in two churches utilizing that ministry. He's participated in Daily Vacation Bible School as a volunteer since he stopped attending Daily Vacation Bible School as a child. He was in charge of children's and family ministries as well as youth in one church. He has consistently worked to build transitions between children's and youth ministries and has consulted for children's and family ministries. He's expressed a deep desire and passion to work closely with Grace Academy, our Christian school ministry. Dr. Judith Graham, wife of Dr. Benjamin Graham. These are the candidate's own words. "Judith is an amazing woman. I definitely married way out of my league. We met when our friends got married and then dated long distance until 1 month before our wedding on May 29, 2004. We are still madly in love and plan to stay that way. People think we were still newlyweds. Judith is a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary with an earned master's and doctorate degree. Personally, she is my greatest encourager, a sounding board, and a helpmate. We pray together and read together so we can grow together." Dr. Graham's life verse. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." 1 Corinthians 5:20. Before the members share with you what God has laid on their hearts about the process with respect to Dr. Graham and his wife, I'd like to read just a few quotes from some of the references that we received, because these, I think, really show the type of character and qualities that he's influenced over his years. Regarding his management style, he's a strategic thinker with strengths that include the ability to engage in long-term planning. Regarding his work ethic, he's very thorough beforehand and will finish what he has started. He is not haphazard. He has worked his tail off in everything I ask him to do. And that's from a Dr. Rich Carney, former military officer and executive director for the Austin Bridge Builders in Texas. Regarding his top qualities and strengths, he loves to disciple and mentor and is confident as a leader and studying the word. Another comment, godly, disciplined, multi-talented. Regarding his greatest ministry assets, I thought this was appropriate. He has a heart for God and an evangelism and his ability to cast a vision that inspires and encourages. He's a great listener and has patience to understand. He's going to listen with an open heart. He's a good people person. Regarding his leadership style, he's an encourager, inspirer. He has a vision in mind and leads the way. He exudes a calm presence while encouraging new ideas. Regarding his love for the Lord and his wife, Ben Graham is a godly man who loves the Lord and desires to serve him well while helping others to do the same. In our time of working together, I observe Ben's heart for Jesus and willingness to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He adores his bride, Judith, displaying his heart for her as he faithfully serves her daily. He is gifted in administration and oversight of others and brings a great personal dynamic to the team. Ben works diligently in his endeavors as an excellent steward. And then I think probably most appropriate, these are comments from his existing senior pastor, Dr. Craig Carlisle from 12th Street Baptist Church in Rainbow City, Alabama. I've had the privilege of serving with Ben for the last 2 years. Ben has proven to be a man of God who loves Jesus and has a passion for the local church. I've had the opportunity to watch Ben grow and mature as a minister. God has been preparing Ben to be a senior pastor. So proud for he and Judith. Honored to have been able to serve with him. And then this I thought was most appropriate. We in Rainbow City send Ben and Judith to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga with our blessing. Now I'm going to let you listen to some of the committee members.
Good morning. I'm Tara Lyles, in case some of you haven't met me before. First, I wanted to let you guys know, the congregation, how much of a blessing it's been for me to participate on this committee. The Lord has worked, and I've been able to see that firsthand. It's been evident of his hand moving through this and leading us different directions, and then finally to Dr. Benjamin Graham. Everything has been covered in prayer, and I wanted to thank all of you for doing that as well as the committee. We all have been praying and praying for the Lord's leading. I wanted to say that I'm confident as I stand here today that God has led us to Dr. Benjamin Graham, and I give all the praise and glory for how this process has worked, how our committee has melded, and how he has led us to Dr. Graham. I want to make sure that God gets the glory for all of that. I wanted to speak specifically about Dr. Graham and focus on one of his wonderful qualities. There are many, but the one that I wanted to mention was his heart for missions. And our church is so big into missions and outreach. He has a heart for missions far and wide, but he also has a strong mission for local. And I thought it was so neat that today our speaker focused on that. He has vision and he has drive, and he can help us with those things as well. If you felt led in that you want to get more involved with the community. We got to see that firsthand, and I'm going to give you several instances. On one of those, the committee members were dining with the Grahams at one point, and Dr. Graham began talking with the waitress, and he asked her, he said, "What can I pray for you about?" And she was caught off guard. But you could tell that it wasn't awkward, that it was sincere and from his heart. It wasn't something he was doing to show us. That's just how he is. When he is out, he is ministering. And another example that I think is pretty interesting is that he loves cars. He loves to fix up cars, and he uses his hobbies for the Lord. So he took out his car out to Sonic in the local area where he lived, and he brought it out there, and he caught the eye of many teenagers. He knew in the evenings that's where they'd be and hanging out, and he was able to witness to them and invite them to church. So like I said, he just has a strong vision, a strong heart for ministry, and that's what I wanted to mention specifically today. Thank you again for your prayerful support. I wanted to let you know that now I'm praying for all of you in this, as you're now stepping into the part of this process where you're going to be looking at things and praying. And more than anything, the Lord brought to me the word peace. Our committee has been given peace. And I wanted to just say, read John 14:27. The Lord says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So don't be afraid of this. Pray for the Lord's peace. We have it, and we're excited. And we're excited to see where the Lord's leading us. Thank you.
Knowing Pastor Euler's expressed desire that Grace Baptist Church not suffer the same fate as Cadle Tabernacle, this committee has prayerfully sought the Lord's discernment, wisdom, and direction throughout the process in the search of a new pastor. We want pastor's children and grandchildren, as well as yours, to find that years down the road, there is still a strong, vital ministry on this corner, a lighthouse reaching out into the community, reflecting God's character with love, mercy, and grace. Having said that, this committee is excited and confident that Dr. Ben Graham, who is more than adequately equipped, is the man that God would lead to fill the position of senior pastor and build on Pastor Euler's legacy and foundation and grow this body of believers into the future. Dr. Graham has a good, sound educational background. He is a proven leader in previous positions that he has held. He also possesses a great sense of humor, and he engages with all age groups easily. Finally, Dr. Graham handles and applies the Word of God accurately. I know that when you meet Dr. Graham and you hear him, that you will be excited too. Thank you.
The unity that this committee has experienced throughout this process is just overwhelming, and we didn't talk with one another about what we were going to say today, so it's fascinating to me that once again, we all want to share with you the same thing. It's great to get to share with you all our excitement about Dr. Graham and his wife, but we also really wanted to share with you the heartbeat of this committee. As each of us agreed to be a part of this process, more than any fear of the amount of time it would take, was this overwhelming awareness of the enormity of the task and a sense of weightiness of the ramifications of the decisions that we might make. We wanted so very much to honor Pastor and Mary and their legacy of faithful ministry that the Lord has built through their work here at Grace Baptist Church. And our greatest fear was that we might fumble the ball and mess this up and not listen to the Lord's leading. And so we came face to face with the fact that on our own, we were totally inadequate for the task. And we came to a deeper understanding that as much as we love Pastor and Mary, God loves them more. And as much as we love this church, God loves this church more. And he cares about the ministry that goes on here. And so we knew that the only way to do this right was on our knees before God. And so we want to share with you that while the deacons have brought before you just one name, one candidate, one as of yet unknown to you man, that we have been seeking God every step of the way. While we cannot really calculate how many hours got spent reading resumes and looking at blogs and social media and listening to sermons and interviewing people, we cannot begin to put a number on the hours that were spent on our faces before the Lord seeking him in this process. And so we want, and we cannot thank you enough for praying with us along the way. So many of you have told us you were praying for us, and that's just priceless. You have no idea. We had a front row seat to seeing God show up and do some pretty surprising and amazing things. Well, we're excited to share with you, not just because we think Dr. Graham's a great guy, which we do, but because we feel like God led us to it. And so we're excited for you all to get to know him. And we're excited now to partner with you as you now can pray very specifically for a specific man and his wife. So we ask that you all will pray both for Dr. Graham and about Dr. Graham, and that you would be praying with us in the next few weeks as we make this decision as a church.
After fervent prayer, God has led us to Dr. Graham. One of the qualities that I was really impressed with this whole time is, as he met with the committee and us face to face, is just his ability to relate to each one of us and the ease in which he does it. Tara and I got a chance to go to his church, and he was teaching a retirement class, and there were 9 couples in there, and just he had a love for them. He knew each and every one of them. They really enjoyed him. There was a lot of back and forth between them. There was a lot of at ease, and you could tell there was a lot of love and respect for him. And that's just been one of the qualities that's really impressed me throughout this, and getting to meet Dr. Graham.
Thank you, James. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit because you guys are going to want to hear some sermons from Dr. Graham, and I'm going to tell you how we can do that. Now, the first and the most accessible way for you to do that is on the website that we've set up. Now, you're going to see the address of this website. Don't scurry off and get your pens and write it down right now. This address is going to be on the handout that you get in just a minute. But if you put this address in the browser of your phone or your tablet or your computer, you will have access to 6 of Dr. Graham's sermons. You can listen to the sermons right there, or you can download them, play them later, or on a different device. Of course, you know, this is our preferred method, and if you're comfortable with that process, that's what we recommend. Now, we do recognize that an online podcast is not going to be the best solution for everybody. So that, with that in mind, a couple of our dedicated guys in our recording ministry have made a limited number of CDs that have, each of these CDs have 2 of Dr. Graham's sermons. So I'll be in the foyer after the service, and come and find me. You can feel free to pick up one of these CDs and listen to sermons that way, if that would work better for you. And I want to just say, if you have any issues with either the website or the disc, please don't be frustrated. Please contact me, and I will be happy to help you with any issues that you may have.
Go ahead and advance the screen, please. It's my privilege and honor to explain to you what's going to happen over the next several weeks as we go forward in this process. You see on the screen next Sunday when Dr. Graham comes to speak. He'll be here all weekend long. Friday evening we will meet with the staff and their wives and the committee and Dr. and Mrs. Graham. Saturday morning the same thing will be for the deacons and their wives. And then we will dismiss him around noon on Saturday and allow him and his wife some time to spend the day viewing our fair city. Sunday morning, he will, March the 1st, he will speak in the morning service. And then right after that service, he'll go to the back and have a time that we've designated for young families. Before you get mad and start throwing your songbooks at me, let me explain why. We'll have a pizza lunch for the families with small children, and if there's any left over, you hungry guys that are going to starve to death before you get home, we'll be allowed to have pizza and a juice box as well. But if for some reason you're unable to be here on Sunday night, please feel free to go to that time on Sunday morning. The emphasis will be on families or the younger among us, as you can see some of these folks behind us. But at the same time on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we won't have a service, but we will have a time of refreshment together, a dessert refreshment, and social time. So you'll have an opportunity to interact with Dr. and Mrs. Graham. Please take advantage of these opportunities that you'll have going forward. Next slide, please. On March the 8th, we will have a. But let me back up. If you plan to attend one of the sessions, you'll have opportunity to email questions. Matt will be the moderator of the session right after the morning service, and then Tom, our chief interrogator, will have moderation responsibilities for that night. The reason we're asking you to email the questions by the end of the workday Friday is so that we can get the questions categorized and maybe phrase the questions where we can take two or three questions similar and put them in one form to expedite the process. Sunday morning, March 8th, you'll have the opportunity to vote in the morning service. The bylaws state that to vote, you must be a member of Grace Baptist Church, and the vote will be a private ballot that you will mark similar to what you do when you go to the local schoolhouse or church to vote for our local government officials. We will ask you to sign it. But it will be private. We will have a deacon counting team that will process and count the votes and announce the results at the end of the service. On March the 15th, we'll have a special Sunday to honor Pastor Mary Oler. Camilla and her committee are wide open through this process. Had our picture made this morning in our Sunday school class. I hope some of you have as well. And there'll be more to come, and I'm sure she'll make more announcements with that. Ron talked about the three phases of the process that we've gone through, and this is where you can become involved in the last phase. We're going to have to move the guy here. You know, he lives in Alabama. We can't expect him to commute every day, maybe for a little while, but not so much. So there are lots of things to come. They will move into a house. They will have to have food. And they will need encouragement and follow-up, and that's where we hope that you will become involved. Can you play the video for us now?
Good morning, Grace. My name is Ben Graham, and this is my wife, Judith, and I am truly honored to be there with you next week as your candidate for a senior pastor, and I can't tell you what an honor that really is for us.
Now, we've loved everyone we've met so far, and we're looking forward to meeting the rest of you next week.
We look forward to seeing you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
When you leave this morning, see one of the ushers, and they will give you a one-page document. What that one-page document is what his brief resume that you've heard discussed. And also on the back is the schedule that we just went over, the email addresses for your questions, and then the podcast information at the bottom. So please, it's your responsibility, but please get one of these as you leave this morning. Finally, remember our church verse, 2 Peter 3:8. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forevermore. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All righty. All right. Thank you very much. Let's stand and we'll dismiss in prayer. Lord, our hearts are heavy with Schaefer this morning, but our hearts are excited to see what you're going to do, both in his little life, the life of this church, as well as, Lord, being in Judith Graham. We thank you for how you've led the committee to Dr. Graham. We thank you for this church and each member that's here and each family that's represented. And we thank you, Lord, for Pastor and Mary and their 37 years of full and faithful service. Now we pray, Lord, as we go through this process that we won't get ahead of you, We won't lag behind you, but you'll keep us in your perfect will and timing. We thank you for where we've come from and where we're at, and we thank you in advance for where you're taking us. In your name I pray. Amen.
And now, the congregational update from March the 1st.
I'm going to ask you to be seated for a minute, and I know this is going to be a little awkward, but this week has been somewhat awkward. We had plans for today, and God had other plans, didn't he? And we're thankful for Pastor and Mary, and they're slipping out now, but I know you'll have a chance to hug on them as the days and weeks go along. But I'm going to ask Ron, if you would. He's going to begin this, and be a few people that will come up and kind of share with you. We'll try not to make this too long, but we do want to try to share with you what's going on over the next few days.
Wow, wasn't that good? I've been through asking that question, and that was an encouragement. That's what we're here about. But we're here, too, to make sure that this congregation can honor Pastor and Mary and to do what we need to do through the transition. I think most of you have already heard through the Sunday school class this morning that we decided to put things off, as Fred said, and boy, that was just a God sighting. But we've got to move forward, and so we want to just to take just a few minutes to kind of tell you how we came to the decision to move forward and then kind of where we're headed the next week and to ask your participation in that. Last Friday night, the committee met with Ben and Judith, Dr. Ben and Judith Graham, as well as Camilla and Dan Borma to talk about the next steps. So much of what we want to do is honor Pastor. We want to help him finish strong, and I'll mention that in just a minute. But we also wanted to make sure we did something that was decently and in order. Because there's so many moving parts to the process, the Do Marriage Well seminar, Dr. Graham's own personal schedule and the commitments he's made to his church, and the other events that are happening in the next few weeks, we met again, as I explained earlier, with these folks. After the first hour and a half, we called Fred to the meeting and Kurt Howe to the meeting. And quite frankly, all that were present would tell you that the meeting was, as Pastor Euler referred to, a God sighting. The committee had to consider all of the events that have taken place to date, including the protections that we put into the Constitution about how we call a pastor and how we have to announce that and how it has to be done decently in order. We had to look at everybody's schedule, and at the end of the meeting, I think we were unified in making a recommendation to the official board that we not put this on hold, but that we go ahead and move forward. Because of the importance of the matter, the deacons took our recommendation last night, and they even met 2 hours to discuss the schedule, and they unanimously agreed, just like they unanimously agreed to the calling of Dr. Graham to schedule the events next week, which Fred's going to come up and tell you about in just a few moments. However, let me just say a couple of words on behalf of the entire committee. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." On behalf of the entire committee, we're truly thankful for the opportunity we've had to serve in this position. We've seen ups and downs. We've had mountaintops and valley experiences, but through it all, we've seen God's hand, and the love for the body became so apparent. I can't tell you how many times that Becky and I, as well as other members of the committee, have had comments from you, members of the congregation and even handwritten letters I've received telling us that you're praying for the committee and praying for the process. For that, we're truly thankful. Second, I want you to know that as a church, we're so blessed to have some of the finest young people who love this church and who are committed to it. On behalf of Tom and Marge Crum, Rick and Judy Hodges, and Becky and myself, affectionately referred to as the older members of the committee, it's been amazing to watch the younger members of the committee, Matt and Carol Thompson, Paul and Katie Borma, and James and Tara Lyles lead in this process. These are families with young children who've spent literally hundreds of hours given to this ministry over the past year and a half, and we really appreciate their faithfulness. Almost 6 months ago, we announced that one goal we had in this entire process was to help Pastor finish strong. I went back and I looked at the announcement that we had made, and I referred to one of Pastor's favorite authors, and that's Steve Farrar. Steve Farrar writes in his book, "It's not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. It's not how many times that we've fallen, it's how many times we've gotten back up." We may have had a tough start, fighting in our past, fighting condemnation, fighting negative circumstance, but if we're determined to serve Jesus, we are still able to finish strong. Then the author states, "It's rare a man who finishes strong. It's the exceptional man who finishes strong. It's a teachable man who finishes strong." You've heard for the past few weeks Pastor's heart and love for this ministry. He spent hours studying transition, preaching on transition, and preparing us, the body, for transition. Now it's our time to help Pastor finish strong. We don't want to be the Cable Tabernacle in Indianapolis that he's reminded us of. We have an opportunity for a God-honoring transition. The events of this week are very important, and we want to challenge you to make a difference. Be involved. Attend the question and answer sessions that we're going to have. Fred's going to tell you about in just a minute. And then to meet Dr. Graham and his wife, and then vote at the special business meeting. I believe it was providential that Bill preached from Joshua 1 this morning. If you keep reading in Joshua, and I have this in my announcement, you'll come to verse 9. And what it says, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Fred.
I think the ushers have some handouts if you want to go ahead and begin passing those out. Do we have a PowerPoint too, I think? Do we have any? We don't? Okay. I'll give you just a second to try to get those out. If some guys here could help the two on the end. Mark, could you help Danny pass some of those, please? Thank you. I want to make sure you get it in your hand because I'm starting pretty much right with the schedule, and I don't want you to miss where we're going with this. Anybody in the center gotten any yet? Still waiting? Anybody else downstairs? Wave at us if you need one, okay? Balcony. Still the center section. Okay, almost got everybody. As Ron said, it's my honor to talk through with you for just a second about some adjustments that we're making for this next week. So let's look at the specifics of the calendar and the times of the events, and then also want you to commit to pray for all these different people and different groups that will be involved with this. And it's going to include everybody at some point. But if you'll notice first, this Friday, March 6th, from 4:30 to 5:45, the pastoral staff and their wives will be meeting with Dr. Graham. On Saturday morning, March the 7th, from 7:30 to 9 o'clock a.m., the deacons and their wives will meet with Dr. Graham. And those two times have been changed a little bit from the previous schedule, and on Friday and Saturday, but they're helpful to those who are involved in the marriage seminar that we've been announcing for over a month, and I alluded to this morning. It's a great opportunity for our church to host a marriage seminar conducted by First Things First. And many couples from both our church and outside of our church, we mentioned over 40 couples. It's a great opportunity for community outreach, and I just want to stress that again. So we've made adjustments in Friday and Saturday to accommodate staff and also a number of couples in our church that need to be in those meetings. Saturday afternoon, from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m., so 2 hours, there will be a question and answer time that will be available for anyone who would like to attend, and Dr. Graham will be answering questions that you've emailed to the committee. I will say, if you have not and you still would like to email, please do that. We encourage you to do that. We want to make sure that you feel comfortable and that it's a transparent process that we're going through here. And by the way, if it's not said later on this morning, remember that next weekend is the time change, okay? So not only do we have a lot of different events and time changes, but it's the time change, okay? So please make sure that you adjust your clocks ahead. We're springing forward. Okay, so that's Friday and Saturday. Next Sunday morning, after you turn your clocks ahead, March the 8th, there will be another question and answer time that will be available from 9 to 10 o'clock, specifically for those who are maybe not able to attend the Saturday afternoon question and answer. So if you want to come to both, that's fine as well. But from 9 to 10 o'clock, there is a question and answer time available. Now you say, what about Sunday school? Sunday school classes will still be conducted from 9:30 to 10:30, just like they always are. You might check with your class teacher and leaders if they want to be a part of this. That's up to them, but you'll do it as a class, not just say our class is canceled today. But that's fine if you want to do that. But I'm just saying the normal Sunday school classes will meet if you so desire to be a part of that. So 9 to 10 o'clock. And that 10 o'clock to 10:30 really gives Dr. Graham a little chance to catch his breath before he'll have to preach at 10:45. So Sunday morning at 10:45, we'll have our morning worship service, and Dr. Graham will be preaching. Many of you, as I know, have talked to me throughout the week, have taken advantage of listening to different types of social media, as well as or the CDs that have been available to you. And so we're looking forward to Dr. Graham opening the Word live and in person next Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, we ask that you take time to pray and with your family about the Grahams, and ask God for clarity as you return for the Sunday evening service. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock during our regular service time, we will open with a time of prayer and worship. In fact, the whole service will be centered around prayer and worship and thanksgiving. But we'll begin with a time of singing and prayer, and then that will be followed by the official vote for Dr. Graham. And then we will continue to sing some songs and worship together while those votes are tallied, and we anticipate the results for that. I think that's all I have, and I think Camilla's going to share a word with us. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
a sermon CD or two or three is welcome to them.
Okay. Paul Schoenfeld is referring, if you could not hear, he's referring to the CD sets that were made. There's two sermons per disc, so there's three discs, six sermons. And there are some more available, and if they're not any, then Paul, I know, will be glad to make some. We can get them made pretty quick if there's not enough after the service, but there are some available. Thank you, Paul. Come on.
Pastor Appreciation Day, good start, huh, will be held as planned on Sunday, March 15. We thought about the possible adjustments to the schedule, and one concern we had was for those who had already made plans to join us and want to be here with us as we honor Pastor and Mary. Several have already booked flights and made travel arrangements. We have former staff members and friends of the ministry coming from Arizona, Iowa, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and surrounding states. The theme of the day is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Carmen, I love the rendition of that song this morning. What a privilege it will be as we reflect on God's goodness and faithfulness to Grace Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Euler for the past 37 years. I want to remind every person or family unit that we would like you to write a note or card to Pastor and Mary and bring it with you on that Sunday. There will be a display in the foyer called Out of the Abundance of Our Hearts, where you will leave that special message. This will be presented to Pastor and Mary later in the service. So please make plans to join us on Sunday, March 15, for a very special day of celebration and appreciation.
Come on, just say one other word. This week, you'll be receiving some prayer chain requests. Is that what you reminded me? I'm sorry. Prayer chain phone calls, just to remind you of some things and to try to keep you up to date. So if you have any questions, please call us in the church office if that doesn't help you, but hopefully it will. Kirk.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred. Now that you have heard from Ron, Fred, and Camilla, I'm required by the church bylaws as set forth in paragraph 4.4.1 to announce that the calling of a pastor may be considered at a special church business meeting. This announcement is the second announcement regarding the vote required by the bylaws. Therefore, the members of the congregation will vote on the official board's recommendation to call Dr. Graham as senior pastor at a special business meeting on Sunday evening, March the 8th, 2015. Please note that only active members 16 years of age or older that are present on March the 8th at the special meeting are eligible to vote. The vote will be done by a written ballot, and the results of the vote will be announced at the end of the service. To call a senior pastor, the candidate must receive a vote of at least 85% of the eligible members voting at such business meeting. I'd just like to take a minute, I know it's getting late, just to share my heart with you at this time. We've been praying as individuals, I know, for a very long time about this event and everything culminating up to this particular day and ultimately ending up with a vote next week. I would just like to share with you what we shared in our board meeting last night is just the fact that we need to check our own hearts and see where we are with the Lord, to see that there is no unconfessed sin in our lives, that we are walking with the Lord in obedience in our walk, that if we have any ill will or anything between another brother or sister here or elsewhere in our lives, that we need to take care of those. It's so crucial that we come to the Lord with clean hearts. That song this morning that we sang, Be Still and Know That I Am God, I thought was very appropriate. That's just been running through my mind since that time. It's hard to get still in this crazy world we're living in that just demands so much activity and so much going. And we are a busy church. We're busy in our own individual lives. But how often do we just simply take the time out of our lives and just focus upon the Lord, our relationship with Him, to love and adore Him? And I would just like to challenge myself and each of us this coming week to make it a special time of our relationship and walk with God ourselves and prepare our hearts. Yes, we want to pray for the transition we're going in, but I think it's more important that we just check our hearts to just to see where we are in our walk with the Lord, and then for the Lord to prepare our hearts for the events that lie ahead, both next week and the days and weeks and months ahead. And I'd like to urge you each to obviously pray for the Euler family, also the for Ben and Catherine, for the Dulles and their sons. They all have heavy hearts right now, and I think to have special time of prayer for them as they and what they're going through. And I know many of you have gone through it yourselves, and as we have as well. But there's no better thing to do than to actually pray for them at this point in time. Before we close in prayer, I just want to ask, I've been asked to ask all the deacons to come up front here immediately after the service for a photograph. And I don't know if my head is too shiny to get a picture of right now, but we'll give it a try anyhow. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we love you this morning with all of our hearts. Our hearts have been stirred by the message. Lord, we don't know all the answers. We don't know why of many things that have happened in our lives, but we know that you are at work. You have been at work, and someday when we're going to be in your presence, we will understand a lot better than we do now. But we do pray, Lord, that as events unfold in each of our lives, Lord, seemingly tragedies, things that we don't understand, we do thank you that you are faithful and you want us to trust you and that you are at work and you're going to accomplish in our lives what you've promised to do. And I just thank you that we have that promise and that assurance. Go before us today. Give us the rest we need this afternoon and prepare us, Lord, for coming back here to worship you. And we'll give you all the praise for what you're doing in each of our lives. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.